tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Oh, hello, everybody. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's Parenthood After Show. We are here doing Season 6, Episode 9. Oh, my goodness. The end is near. Episode, lean in. Whoa, we were all leaning in that episode. Yeah. We were all leaning back, too, after what just happened. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. Joining me, I have...
Hey, guys, I'm April Wissenhant.
Hey, everyone, I'm Kelly Knezovich.
Okay, we just have to start. Oh, my goodness. Speechless.
Literally, I think after they showed the preview for next week, I'm pretty sure none of us said anything for maybe a good 15, 20 seconds.
And that's a long time.
A legit long time.
That's a long time.
My heart is literally like, it feels like someone is squeezing it right now. That episode tortured me. And to have such a good, like, Jolia episode, and for me to still feel like this right now, I don't even know how to move forward.
Neither do I. I mean, we were literally speechless at the end of that episode. Yeah. And we were all saying, how the heck are we going to talk about it for an hour?
Yeah, this was not a good episode. I don't think this was a great episode.
No.
I mean, it's always great, but...
No. It was that great that we can't talk about it.
It's so hard to talk about it.
Okay, but we have to. Yeah. Let's get into it. Let's get into it. All right, let's just get... one of my least favorite stories out of the way of this episode.
Ruby. I wonder who.
No. Oh my goodness. Out of all of everything that went down in this episode already, we did not need Ruby.
No.
You could have completely cut the story out.
Yeah.
And it would have been perfectly fine.
I've seen Ruby more than I feel like I've seen anyone this season.
The
I'm
main
like,
cast.
Come on.
I'm surprised you didn't say more than you see Julia.
That's exactly the problem. I'm just like, done with that story. I feel bad. The girl who plays Ruby is a great actress, but the storyline, I'm just like, I'm done with it.
Well, the thing is, it felt like such, compared to all the big, heavy seasons, or goodness, I'm speechless, I can't talk. all the heavy stories we had in tonight's episode, hers was the lightest one and didn't fit with really anybody, other than the fact that, yes, Ruby now has this part. She's the lead in Sandy because the first girl dropped out. And the only reason why we had the story was to bring Mark Sayre back.
Exactly. Yeah.
But see, you could have brought that back without...
in so many other different ways. I agree.
And they can grow Sarah and Hank's relationship in other ways that don't have to do with Ruby. Like, it's almost like they're overdoing it at this point, because the fact that we're tired of seeing them kind of play that angle.
Yeah.
It's just that it needs to happen in a different way, which I have a feeling it probably, they're kind of like done explaining and fixing that relationship at this point, because obviously we see that it's about to get realer than it's already been, but I don't know.
I think they're trying to show that Hank has baggage, but we've seen in multiple episodes before tonight, he has baggage with Sandy, with Ruby. We can kind of cut that storyline short. Mm-hmm. We don't really need to keep addressing it.
Yeah, but we do see Mark, and Jason Ritter is back.
My love, with his perfect smile.
What did we think of Sarah, Mark's interaction when they first met, eyes across the audience, and he was speechless too. He was like, oh, wait a minute, everyone's looking at me right now. I'm supposed to be talking. Mm-hmm. But what do we think of this whole situation when they find out that they're together in the same room again?
They have such great chemistry.
They do. This literally, and you took the word out of
their mouth. With their eyes, it's just, they have such a strong connection, and it's beautiful. I love seeing it.
I think they have, honestly, I think they have a connection that Sarah and Hank really don't have. I mean, I think Hera and Sank is what I was about to say. No. Sarah and Hank obviously have a deeper connection in other ways, but I don't think we don't really see that excitement between the two of them. Obviously, like, real deep, meaningful relationships are more than just the excitement, the
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Butterflies and that sort of thing, but I don't know, they just have such a connection that it keeps me like kind of hanging on to him a little bit, which is exactly why they brought them back.
I agree, because the chemistry is through the roof. They connect in ways that Sarah and Hank can't, because Hank's personality, the way he presents himself, he's very closed off to people. He has a hard time opening himself up, and Mark was that open book, literally, because he's an English major. Oh, but what do we think of Hank handling the situation, knowing that Mark is back? They were very civil about it. He was very understanding, and he was pretty much the bigger man in the situation.
Hank is doing really well this episode. He was opening up to Sarah and communicating twice. I mean, granted, that second time she's like, oh, you didn't say anything in the car ride home. Are you okay? So, it was a little more difficult for him to bring up the whole Mark Sear topic. Mm-hmm. But I think he was being very honest and very real, and it was a nice change. I mean, he's learning. He's growing. And we saw those changes with Sandy a couple weeks ago, and he's finally doing it with Sarah now, and I like it.
Me too. We're definitely seeing a whole new Hank that I really like. I like the fact that he can express it, or is expressing himself, when it's so difficult for him. And I think he handled the Mr. Sear situation perfectly. Mm-hmm. He didn't freak out, but when he noticed that things were a little bit off, he was direct and asked Sarah about it, which is really difficult for him. Yep. And so, as a fellow person who lives in the land of passive aggressiveness, I was really proud of him that he said something. And sometimes it takes a little bit for him, because he wants to gather his thoughts in addition to it's difficult for him. So I think he handled it perfectly. He felt something weird about the situation and he addressed it like he should. So,
and I love it. And I love how he told how confident he was in himself and in their relationship. And he says, if it means something to you, you know, if it's important to you, you go have this dinner with Mark and talk to him, or whatever meeting that they were going to meet up. And are you satisfied with how Mark ended his story? Because it seems like this was official closure, especially for being the farewell season. Are you satisfied with his ending?
No.
I think it's kind of expected, though, because we saw him, was it last season? He said he's engaged or he's married or something along those lines.
Last episode with him, he says he had a fiancé and he was about to get married.
But didn't he reveal it kind of in a similar manner, too, where it wasn't something just right? I mean, they had dinner, right?
Or by the way.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I'm engaged.
Yeah, and I remember that episode because we were talking about it. That the way he dropped that bomb, it was even before they ordered anything. It's like, you don't start off your dinner with that kind of news.
Awkward. Wait until you're like full and over dessert.
But yeah. I loved Sarah and Mark's conversation, and then even Sarah saying, this might feel weird, but I'm glad I knew you. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad she knew him too.
I am too. It was definitely, I'm not happy with it only because obviously I love Mr. Sear, but I do think Sarah and Hank are really good for each other and are supposed to be together. But the reason I'm not happy with it is because I do still see that connection. Mm-hmm. And so it's tough to kind of completely pull away from it, even though, you know, he's doing exactly what he wanted. You know, he and Sarah were trying to have a baby, and that's probably why, you know, she kind of teared up a bit, because thinking back to how, you know, like troubles that they had with that and the stress over it and everything with her family even. I don't know. I'm happy that he is happy, but then it's still like, are you 100% happy, because you are looking at her so longingly and she's looking at you so longingly? But I get, you know, sometimes there are relationships where, you know, feelings kind of never fully go away. Right. And maybe theirs will just be one of that. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't really love his wife, she doesn't really love Hank, but, you know.
Yeah. I think they definitely had a couple of those what-if moments. I mean, they've tried it a couple times.
The one that got away.
The one that got away. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
Sure.
I mean, but I am happy how they're on a good level. They ended things were tied up with them. Mm-hmm. And there's no unhappiness, really, or, right. like, any bad hurt feelings whatsoever, that they are adults and they're content with each other. And they're probably going to remain, unfortunately, good friends.
Yeah.
And that's it. Because Sarah, at the end of that night, Hank asks her, are you happy in the relationship? And she says yes. Mm-hmm. After Ruby stormed in on them and ruined that moment.
Naturally. She did look really happy in that moment, for sure, yeah. whenever she was saying that to him. And I think that meant a lot to him
yeah.
because he wants to know. That's important, you know? He realizes that he has a lot of stuff, but Sarah has a lot of stuff, too. So
it's like
everybody has a lot of stuff.
And I think that's why Hank and Sarah go well together, because they both have baggage and they grow from each other. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, just wisdom in relationships, that everyone has that, but they can handle it together like adults. They know they have that understanding of each other.
I concur.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right. I mean, it was nice to see Jason Ritter finish out his story on a fairly
I loved his little appearance.
Note.
Yeah, it was so sweet.
It was
short and sweet.
And that's all we needed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But another story that seems very well tied up, and they're tying up a lot of loose ends in this show, Dylan. Dylan and Max, Max still giving her problems at school. Mm. The scale is not fluid. Changing with
it's
him.
Very concrete.
So Christina, they're having this parent night, it seems, and things get out of hand when Max really aggressively shows his feelings and towards Dylan. Goodness, all these names. Dylan's. But what do we think of Dylan's parents and how they first handled the situation? Was it warranted that Dylan's parents reacted that way, not having known the full story?
I think because they didn't know the full story, I think that's why they reacted that way. And they even said, sorry, we've been traveling and working, so we haven't really been a part of Dylan's life. So I think coming back home to this parent-teacher conference or whatever that night was and seeing this happen and seeing the harassment, I think they were really shocked and blown away because they hadn't heard word of it at all.
Mm-hmm. I think that they did react justifiably. Mm-hmm. I think that maybe not the whole, like, where, you know, pulling her out of school thing, that was obviously a little dramatic and overboard.
Overreacting.
Yes, but I think that, I mean, they saw Max grab her. No, they didn't know, like, the context of it or anything, but it was clear that she did not want it to be happening. And as a parent who, you know, sees that happen to your child and then hears, like, oh, this is what's been happening, even though they don't know the full story, and they know that Max didn't get punished, I think I would kind of handle it the same way. I mean, hopefully, maybe not in front of the entire school.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's my thing. It's like, if you're going to have a very understandably heated argument, you isolate yourselves from the public. You go into be adults, be like, can we go discuss this somewhere else in a private office? It is a school. They have clearly rooms that they can, you know, get themselves away from everybody.
Right.
I don't think, first of all, that situation was handled properly by Christina and Adam. I mean, good on them to, you know, back up Max, but they were answering the question that we had last after show. Did Christina treat Max in the way that, you know, punished him in any way? Because it didn't seem like Christina disciplined Max in any way.
It's so hard for her because she's coming from a motherly point of view and trying to figure out how do I discipline my son for his actions. But she's also coming from the headmaster point of view of how do I discipline this kid. So it's hard to remove herself from the motherly position and say, this is, you know, you should be punished in this way, because she, and she's also a very emotional person too, so she probably feels bad punishing anyone, but let alone her son. It's a struggle for her.
I definitely get that, but I just think, I mean, she didn't punish him at all, as far as we saw, anyway. And
if anything, I think last episode she praised him, didn't she? When they were on the
she
street.
She did, yeah.
She was like, she good for you, good job.
And she praised him about the things she should have, but she did not punish him for anything that he did. And it's not like he just did one thing and she's like, or even two. I mean, he did things that no kid should do and that a kid would get in a whole lot of trouble for. So I definitely understand Dylan's parents being upset about him not being punished for any of it. Because, I mean, if you can't trust, you know, your parents or your child's headmaster to run the school fairly and equally, even though their child goes there, I mean, it's gonna bring questions in everyone's mind for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that, you know, Christina and Adam, they were told by someone else, like an outside source, that their son is the one that's causing problems and harassing and borderline bullying, especially when they brought up the pamphlets. We're like, mm-hmm. nothing happened when Max did that. So it's also putting into perspective, yes, my kid is doing all these bad actions and I haven't disciplined them, because it's reminding him that Max is being the bully mm-hmm. when they started this whole school to stop bullying, to get yeah. away from that. And so that realization that my own kid, and I'm denying all that.
Ooh, I didn't catch on to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, you know, having that realization led them to have this very grown-up apology. They go to the parents' house. I don't even think we got their names, but doesn't matter.
We'll call them Dylan's parents.
Yeah, Dylan's parents' house. They go to Dylan's parents' house and sincerely apologize.
Max's apology astounded me.
Yeah.
He's worked on his apologies before with looking someone directly in the eye and apologizing, but I don't know that I've ever seen him look Dylan in the eye for more than like a quick second.
Yeah.
And he looked at her straight in the face the entire time and genuinely apologized. And I think you could tell that he meant it.
He meant it.
So I was really proud for our little Max.
Yeah. I don't think that Christina or Adam prepped him for that at all. I don't think they're like, this is what you got to say to Dylan. This is how you got to say it. You got to look her in the eye. I feel like he just did that all on his own.
I do too.
Came up with that apology on his own, and he was very respectful, mm-hmm. very responsible,
and
very
he was mature. Willing. Yes, and he was willing to apologize to the parents mm-hmm. as well, because yes. the parents are getting affected,
right?
Too.
I think that also Dylan's parents kind of realized, you know, the moment that Max spoke to them, like, okay, this isn't a completely normal situation, and we definitely went a little overboard. Because, I mean, obviously you can tell from Max that there's something different about him. And so I'm sure they probably knew that he had Asperger's, but maybe not to the extent that he does. So I think it helped them a little bit to actually get to speak to him.
Right. And yeah. that's what I was having problems with Dylan's parents, because their child is in for the school. She has certain behavioral conditions too. And I think I was just upset that the fact that they weren't as accepting of someone else who was also having behavioral issues. Like,
right.
you know, you're in the same place too. It's like, mm-hmm. look in the mirror. So, I mean, I'm glad that ended on a better note, and yes. they apologize. And Asperger's is a term of endearment.
Yeah. They're sweet. Best friends. Yeah. Oh, I wrote this down earlier because I love how Max has his little one-liners every time, but I love how he said in the beginning, he's like, I'm just trying to show Dylan chivalry and strength.
Chivalry is not dead.
Chivalry is not dead.
According to Max Braverman, and I love it.
Do you think there's still hope for Max to have a better, more adult? I mean, this is his first so-called romance.
Yes.
So do you think he has hope?
I definitely think so.
How many episodes do we have left?
There's 4 episodes left.
I don't know.
Maybe not in,
not that I'm
not
counting.
In the show, but I think in the fake fictional continuation
the
of the Braverman,
obviously,
yeah,
just the kids.
Oh, yep. That'd be so great.
Minus Ruby and Sydney.
Yeah, yeah, we can. They don't have to be a part of it.
No,
sorry.
I mean, but I would watch that show.
Oh, heck
so
yeah,
would I.
Absolutely.
There we go. Writers, call us. All right. Okay.
We'll help you.
We're getting into the more juiciness of this episode. Zeke, Zeke and Drew, they're still having their grandfather moments and mm-hmm. stuff, and like I really liked how Zeke was very happy and energetic to the point where it's concerning for Camille.
Yeah, because what do they call it? I'm trying to think of the old episode of Grey's Anatomy where
the surge.
Okay,
yeah,
you know
we
exactly
talked
about
it. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Where someone has you know, their body is failing and then they have a surge and they're super energetic and doing all this stuff and are almost like back to normal and then they crash. And I'm
that's what's happening.
But Zeke has also had a good amount of energy for the past few weeks, and we see him tonight still, like, he's kind of wincing.
Is that good energy, or is that just fake energy he's putting up a front that, no, everything's okay.
I think it's fake.
I'm healthy.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fake, but it's good fake energy. It's good that he's at least trying.
Yeah, I think he's trying. I think he's trying to be back to normal, so he might be pushing it a little bit more to try to seem normal. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a little fake.
Well, that's ultimately what's killing him. No pun intended, it's because he can't be normal. And it's the same thing so many people go through every day. You can't drive your own car. You can't, you know, take your wife on an amazing anniversary trip because you can't fly.
Yeah, he can't be at the state that he used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's hard for him to
understand. A younger man, because he is an older man. And he's even reminiscing about the time when he was in Vietnam, mm-hmm. writing letters to Camille in Paris. They're in France. Not Paris, just France. But and he even wants to take Millie back to Chez Marie.
How Ooh. Romantic.
Gosh, that is just the sweetest in thing
France.
Ever. That'd be a dream come true.
That's romantic.
Take note.
Take note from Zeke Braverman.
Take note from Zeke.
Anyone can learn from this show.
Oh, yes.
So he wants to book this travel plan for the anniversary to Chez Marie in France, and Camille's not having it.
No. And I kind of was sad whenever Drew told her,
because didn't tell her everything though.
I know, no. But she,
but good on Drew for having, his concerns. Like, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't even be. You can't drive a car, let alone fly in an airplane.
Right. I'm like, come on. Maybe it was the scene when Zeke was like, I trusted you. You that let me hard. Down. You know that, right? I mean, and Drew, kind of took it like a man. I thought he was going to, break down for a little bit, but he didn't.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Obviously, I know everyone has their concerns, as they should, but it's like, you got to take that away from him.
I know. And, Drew's having all these great moments with you, Zeke, but that's not right to make Drew feel bad about that thing. He doesn't have control over that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he can't help it. He's concerned about his grandfather, but...
Yeah, like a good grandchild should.
Right.
Yeah.
It's tough for him to take that in, though.
Yeah. But when Camille finds out, what... Did we think Camille's reaction was surprising? It was kind of a surprise to me that she's, after everything she knew, she's like, yes, you know what, let's go.
I was a little bit surprised by it, only because I thought that she would, still be like, oh, that's so lovely, but we just can't. With everything. But I think she handled it. I think that would have kind of crushed his spirit even more. But, she made sure to throw in the line, after we talked to the doctor, let's do it.
We can still go.
And I think she's kind of realizing this is, what he needs. And, he didn't say it, but he almost said it, about, them, it might be the last time they're able to do something.
Moments.
I think she's kind of realizing that as well, but also still being cautionary.
So speaking of last moments, I feel like every episode, Zeke has a moment with someone, and I think that although it wasn't super... super sad. It wasn't. I mean, it was still pretty emotional. I think that his last moment could have been with Camille this episode. It was a very. I'm sorry.
It was just
I ruined everything.
We have to get to it.
Think it's just. It was hard to watch, but I think it was a really beautiful moment that they shared together. Because I think kind of from this point on, it might just go downhill.
Oh, it's certainly definitely looking that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, especially in that conversation, there was that quiet pause moment where Zeke was just quiet. And you knew that, he couldn't even say it. It's like, I know this is my time. Mm-hmm. So let's do everything now. The end is near. And I feel when people know, they just know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Zeke's at that point. And then Camille even got to that point. She knew.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she's like, yes, let's go. And then they're sleeping in bed. He's having what seems like another heart attack. Mm-hmm. At least he was able to get Camille's attention. Be like, call the ambulance. Something's wrong.
I thought for a minute that he was having a stroke. Because, he couldn't really talk, and which is also, what happens when you have a heart attack, too. But it's because of the way that his face was whenever he was laying, I guess. But that, you just see the pain in his face and the agony. And then, I literally can't talk about it. I really can't.
It is rough.
Heartbreaking.
I just don't know
You can't end an episode like that either. That is a horrible and then it's cliffhanger.
January the 8th?
January 8th.
You come back?
That's, no. That is torturous. That is mean. That is
very mean.
That is cruel. I love you, NBC Parenthood, but no, you can't do that to
but
us.
But not tonight. We do not love you guys tonight.
Not right now. You are. I'm not liking you.
I said you write a letter.
Yes. No, this is my letter. This
I don't
is
know
my
to
complaint.
Who, but we're writing a letter to someone. They and can't. Sending them this.
Oh my goodness. Okay, we'll get there.
Yeah, I can't believe that we can't we'll talk there. About it. Like, it's so hard for us to understand and what's going on and take it all in. It's just, we don't even want to talk about it.
We don't want to discuss like it. Like, this is something that we've, you know, obviously predicted for a long time, mm-hmm. Have been expecting something like this to happen, but it's just when it does, I mean, that literally was agonizing for me, for all of us.
That was
and
horrible.
I just, it's like, now that it could potentially actually be happening, it's like, wait, is this actually going to happen? Yeah. He's so young to me, you know? Like, obviously he's
so energetic.
That's the thing, yeah. Mentally, he's still young,
he's still
ready
there.
To go, but
he has the memories still trapped. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
It's just tough to see him like that.
Yeah, it really is. Okay. Moving on. There's enough to say about that.
Yeah.
Joel, Team Joel and Julia. Team Julia. Okay, so.
My babies.
Oh, yeah. I think they're everybody's babies.
Yeah.
But, okay, so we see. This episode is so hard. I don't know how we're going to get through this either.
I know.
Okay. Bear with us. We're getting there. Joel and Julia. They have to sign the divorce papers. What do we think of Julia and how is she. Her perspective on this. We'll do both perspectives. Julia's perspective.
April, you take this away.
Thinking that Joel was the one that bailed, that left. In talking to Camille, and I love how Camille says it, marriage is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about forgiveness.
I think Julia, she kind of split it up in different parts of this episode tonight. But I think for a good, like, half of the episode, I'm like, what a brat. Like, no, come on. And I keep thinking, you know, okay, Joel is absolutely the one who bailed, but he, I think they're putting too much blame on him. You know, it's not just, like, they're forgetting how very, very, very hurt he was. Not even just about the Ed stuff, but about so many other things. And then it's like, he did leave, he got an apartment, but he didn't say, let's get a divorce right then, you know? Like, it was something that he wanted to think about.
He physically left, though.
Yes. Yeah. And so, it is, you know, he did leave in a time where he probably shouldn't have, because it's not like she actually did outright cheat on him. You know, everything was very circumstantial.
Good on Julia, too. They both recognize their faults. Julia says, you know, I made mistakes, too, with Ed, and that is why we're here. Mm-hmm. So,
but yes. There's always a but.
Is always a but. Yeah. There's always two sides to a story.
She's like, but he did this. So it's kind of like they're just toying with who did the worst thing, and it's all falling on Joel. And, you know, he did leave, which was obviously the deal breaker. But I think, I don't know, it's like practice what you preach. And she's so was seemingly not willing to even kind of really talk about it. She did go to lunch with him, but then she's like, I can't handle it. And that's what she wanted from him for
dinner.
Dinner, okay, dinner. I'm sorry.
No, it was lunch, but that looked like dinner.
It did, yeah.
I mean, Vitelli's. That was a like nighttime romantic. That's a romantic lunch. Mm-hmm. That was not lunch.
So here are my thoughts on Julia. I feel like she is a lawyer, and so she's very stubborn. And I think it's her personality that she has to be right. And she made this decision. Okay, I'm going to sign the papers. I'm going to continue seeing Chris Jeffries. And so she has to follow through with that because she doesn't want to be wrong. Mm-hmm. Now, she knew darn well where she was going for lunch with Joel. She knows all about that place. She knows his tactics. I think if she really did want to end the marriage, she would have said, nope, we're meeting at a Taco Bell. We're going to get, it's going to be a 10-second thing. You're signing the papers and we're peacing out. It's not going to be a sit-down romantic dinner. Let's relive the past and talk about the first time we ever did, you know, dated here. And she knew darn well what she was getting herself into. Yeah. And I don't feel bad for her confusion or anything. I think she kind of brought it on herself because she needs to be right. And she went to lunch with Joel at Vitelli's. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Their first date, where they had their first date.
Okay. I think she obviously doesn't want it to end, but she continues to go through with wanting him to sign the papers. I'm not sure why, other than the fact that she just needs to be right and move on.
Sometimes you just do have to just pull the plug.
Yeah.
Because that's when you rip the Band-Aid off, because that's the only way to end something.
But I don't think she really wants it to end, though.
I don't think she does either.
Clearly not.
No. All right. Joel, do we think... Okay, because we see from Joel's perspective now that he does admit he's the one that left. He didn't keep up his marriage vow. Mm-hmm. And then when he was saying all those things at lunch, mm-hmm. he says, you know, he's going to do everything in his power to be that husband. If Julia will take him back.
Mm-hmm. I love that he said, I love you so much.
Me too.
I thought that was so... He's doing so well. He's mm-hmm. so real these last couple episodes. He's being so honest and opening up his heart again and possibly getting hurt again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm just proud of him.
But it's also taking ownership in your mistakes as well.
Yeah.
And making amends for it.
Yes.
I was so ridiculously mad at Joel last season whenever all the stuff was happening. And I was mad at him for leaving. And it's, to me, it's just so obvious at this point that he is so torn up about it. And, you know, just like Camille said, people make mistakes. Have you ever made a mistake? She said to Julia. And she's like, yes, I have. And
that's
why we're here. Yeah. So that's why I'm kind of like, maybe I empathize with him a little more because, you know, even though Julia was very apologetic at that time and Joel was so like hard nosed. And, you know, I was mad at him then, but it's, to me, I feel like he's trying maybe a smidge harder than she did at that time. So that's why I'm kind of like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
But,
I think during that time, she was just wanting him to forgive her. It was about forgiveness at that time.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. What does it take for you to forgive me? I'm sorry. What do you want from me? And he's like, I'm telling you everything. I'm spilling my heart out.
I just bought you. You want them together. Okay. Now we see them because she signs the papers. Mm-hmm. He can't. They really start to get together.
Yeah.
No, I think he does, doesn't he? Doesn't he sign it?
No.
No.
He picks up the pen.
Oh, he didn't.
That was the longest 20 seconds ever. He picks up the pen. We're all like breathless over here and we can't even breathe.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't talk about it.
But she just goes.
He just sits there and he can't sign the papers.
Y'all, they have the.
And then they start kissing. Way to toy with our emotions, right? NBC Parenthood.
They have the hottest chemistry, I feel like. I mean, it's just even just. Or, and it's not even like that it's just hot. It's just like. Emotional, like, I'm like, do you two love each other?
Oh, they
do. Oh, for sure. Both, like, married practically. Well, I know he is. And she's engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, anyway, but I'm like, I feel like, honestly, they have a real connection.
Mm-hmm.
And just the moment where they're just, I feel like that's really hard for an actor to do, to just kind of, like, stare at another person for that long and have it mean that much. And they killed it. And I literally, we had been like sitting like this in our chairs, and then we're all like,
straight up, our jaws were on the floor.
We couldn't talk.
We were just awestruck.
Literally, the last 3 minutes of this episode, I don't think anyone said a word.
No.
We were just,
I don't think we breathed at all.
Mm. No.
Definitely not.
Our hearts were stopped.
We're lucky to be alive right now.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how we're still talking about this.
I'm like, oh, this is about to take a turn. Whenever her and...
Chris Jeffries.
Oh. It's so hard for me not to say that. I don't know why. Her and Chris Jeffries, whenever he's like, I need something. I need change. And she's like, stop pressuring me. I'm like, oh, this is about to take a turn for the worst.
Well,
I'm sitting, I'm grinning from ear to ear the whole scene. I'm
you
like,
you are. You totally were.
I do. Okay. Do you think when Chris was saying that he was right, though? I think so. Especially
think so
a couple episodes back when he, at the end of the episode, he's like, there's no pressure whatsoever
mm-hmm.
with you and Joel and where we stand in our relationship. And now I mean, if you're together for that long, if you're going to have a relationship and move forward, you should have the right to be like, where do we stand? Mm-hmm. Are you still with Joel? Are you with me? I mean, it's unfortunate to give that type of ultimatum, especially in her situation, right then and there. On that day, she couldn't do it. I understand that. That's frustrating for him. Mm-hmm. But I still think it's right that he needs to know, too, because he's also getting affected.
I can see it both ways. I think it was probably not the best call on his part to have that discussion. Yes, timing is everything. I think, you know, he probably could have picked a better time to have that conversation with her, since she had just gotten back from lunch where she abruptly left and didn't have him sign the papers, didn't have Joel sign the papers. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I kind of understand that he wants something from her, but she's not. She still has to figure her own stuff out first, and I think that he needs to give her the space.
I kind of get it. I mean, I think that you know, he's obviously, no one wants to feel pressured, and it is, you know, kind of putting the pressure on a little bit, even though, you know, that's not how he means to do it. He just needs some sort of answer so he can go on with his life. Because, I mean, everyone in the entire universe knows that getting a divorce, no matter how you feel about someone, is really tough. And there are, you know, Joel and Julia aren't in like a we hate each other, this is terrible situation. So
we love each other so much, we're so frustrated with each other.
You see a lot of people kind of stay married for the sole fact of not having to sign those papers. And that's kind of where I think
kids and
the kids. Right. Yeah, that's a huge issue too.
That's kind of where I think he's thinking that Julia was going to stay if he didn't apply some sort of pressure. Because, you know, I think he probably would ultimately give her the time that she needs, but having something so indefinite is tough. And then, you know, I definitely see it from her perspective, because you never know how much time it's going to take you. But if that's something you're going to go through with, then, you know, you got to figure something out. And I think they did.
Make a decision.
Right.
And I think the word of the day is forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Because they both own up to their actions. And they want to...
They meaning Joel and Julia?
Yes. Joel and Julia. Team Julia.
Julia.
They both own up to their actions, and they realize that they were both in the wrong for certain different things. Julia says that she doesn't know if she can forgive Joel. But the thing is I think they have to forgive themselves first. Mm-hmm. Forgive themselves for what they did to each other, for what they did to themselves. Mm-hmm. And once you have that self-realization, like, you know what, I made mistakes, I'm human. Okay, now I can forgive myself, now I can forgive someone else.
I think Joel's come to that realization. I think he's forgiven himself for walking out on the family. Mm-hmm. I think Julia is still a little bit stubborn and hasn't really forgiven herself for Ed. But I think in the next 4 episodes, we'll see it happen.
Yeah. See how I was saying that I thought she was kind of like a brat-ish at the beginning of the episode. At the end of the episode, I thought she took a turn, not just because of the hot makeout session that they had on the couch, but just because of the fact that she, you know, she signed the papers, yes, but it was clear that even to me, as she was signing the papers, I'm like, she does not want to do this.
She did it out of anger, out of frustration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But at least she's making some sort of move. And I think maybe it kind of took that, honestly, it might have taken her, like, signing the paper to be like, holy crap, I just signed this paper. So I was proud of her at the end.
Yeah, the visual reinforcement that this is the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Doesn't look like it, though.
No.
Nope.
Doesn't feel like it.
But,
either.
You know, now that you say, they didn't show him, like, they... I don't think he signed the papers, but I feel like they did.
He did not sign
a
papers.
Good job of, like, not showing that whatsoever. Like, they kind of, like, cut off his hand that entire time. But I feel like we would have seen a little movement.
They probably would have, like, zoomed in and focused in on it.
Oh, yeah. Done it. He did not sign those papers. We could get to predictions, but the way they shot it and whatnot, he held up the pen. Sound effects, you did not hear any pen writing. Like,
true.
Scratching,
oh, yeah, they would
writing
write
on the paper. You would hear that. Mm-hmm. So,
but I think they have music behind it, though.
Yeah, he was just sitting there, and you can tell he didn't want to sign it. And then longingly look at each other. It was just, like, all those emotions culminating, and it ended up the way it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm so happy
about
that.
Do we think...
Because
okay,
I'm happy.
I'm going to ask this every episode, but do we think they're going to get divorced now? Even after all that went down.
Do we think they're going to get divorced?
Yeah.
No.
Are we going to go through with it?
No.
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 Me neither.
Yeah. Me neither. We agree.
Oh my goodness. What else? So they're... So what? I can't.
There was so much in this episode.
Mark's wife is pregnant also.
Yeah.
That was another time bomb. Mm-hmm. Another bomb on us.
We heard that Amber has 6 weeks to go.
6 weeks to go.
Time flies.
And in real time, 6 weeks, that's when we're going to be back.
Yeah.
Do you think she's going to be having her baby the next episode, or do you think it'll be the last episode when she has the baby?
I think they might save it for the last.
You think so?
That or cliffhanger kind of situation.
No cliffhanger, please.
They're definitely going to play that out, though.
Mm-hmm. Something I thought about that I wrote down whenever Joel and Julia were at lunch together, and he was talking to her about how he felt and everything. I thought it was very kind of poignant that he said he felt shame and didn't feel like he deserved to be in her life anymore. And I think that's what kind of made her realize I have to stop torturing someone or
beating him up.
Move
yeah.
forward. And that's kind of where she went from there.
Yeah.
And then she was mean to Mr. Jeffries. And then her and Joel made out.
And it's a happy ending.
Yeah, the happier ending. All right. So let's get into a little bit of news.
Yeah.
AfterBuzz TV News.
I do have a couple fun photos, but before we get to that, actually, there a few fun things happen. We know if you love Parenthood and if you love Lauren Graham, because I certainly do.
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
I didn't know.
No. What? Speaking of shows that are evergreen, like Parenthood will be, Gilmore Girls is actually having a reunion.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They're having
cool.
a reunion at Austin, Texas. They're having a TV convention, a yearly convention in June of 2015.
Oh, nice.
I like to keep our conversations evergreen, but yeah. talking about shows that will last forever, Gilmore Girls will certainly last forever.
Very nice.
For sure.
So if you're a fan of that show, you should definitely tune into that in the summer.
Mm-hmm. 6 months from now. So
yeah. So we'll have Lauren Graham, Alexis Bledel, and Amy Paladino all together.
Cool.
Again.
You gotta go.
I would love to. I've crashed that. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And then a couple fun photos, if we can see them, please. Our first one, I mean, on social media, of course, Sam Jaeger, he Instagrammed or tweeted, I believe, this particular one, actually. Well, yeah, we'll go to this one.
Yeah.
This is a screen cap of his short film that he wrote and directed.
Oh, wow.
That's available on YouTube. The short is called, I had it in my notes here, Plain Clothes.
I like it.
Wow.
Gotta watch that tonight.
Yes, it is available up on YouTube. It's only 10 minutes long. Definitely check it out. He wrote and directed it, and it's one of those realistic stories. You should just watch him. Watch his talent. Because...
I mean, he's super talented
now. Yeah, after Parenthood, he definitely has another career ahead of him.
That's so cool.
I'm so excited to see it.
Yeah. And then our next photo, we also from his account on Twitter, he posted a picture of Savannah and Erica at the ice rink, saying the Graham girls.
They're so cute.
That is super cute.
Aw. What
Graham.
A happy little family.
Oh, it seems like a happy
yeah,
family.
Yeah,
that's a positive shot
How
right there.
How cute is that? So even if their relationship is rocky on the show, it seems great in real life.
Yeah. Good. At least we have that.
Yeah, so that's all I have for the
and
photos.
Then, did you guys obviously heard about... Erica Christensen getting engaged.
She got engaged.
I didn't
yes.
know that she was dating a cyclist, or it was a, yeah, her boyfriend, cyclist,
fiancé,
Cole Maness. So, yeah.
Congratulations,
like
Erica.
Yeah,
congrats.
That's, and you know, it's great to know the cast and have fun, real lives
yeah.
after the show, especially when the show ends, that their
Definitely.
Lives are still moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay.
What you got?
So, That preview, all these previews are killing me.
They're horrible.
But because all we see is Zeke is crashing at the hospital. His health is taking a dramatic turn, going downhill. Not even turning, it's just going straight downhill.
We heard the flatline, too.
Did we?
I mean, I didn't see it.
And they called for a crash cart.
But, what?
Oh,
they can call for a crash cart whenever someone flatlines.
Oh my gosh.
Defibrillator's out. Because, well, he's having a heart attack, from what we're led to believe. Another heart attack. It wouldn't be his first. Do we really think he's going to die?
Guys, I think he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and here's my reason why I feel like they've been setting us up for it. And yes, it could come out of the blue that it's someone else. But I just think they're setting us up for it so much that we are mentally prepared. We love the Bravermans. We don't want anything bad to happen to them.
We don't want anybody to die.
So the fact that we're kind of getting used to it and that we're slowly understanding it and slowly accepting it, it'll be less of a blow rather than just some oddball character.
Yep.
I think he is, but I'm still gonna go with the it could be someone random, and I'm still going with Crosby. I was reading a Reddit article before this that was saying they think it's going to be Crosby too, because Crosby has those huge ties with everyone in the family, and which they all do, but, you know, Crosby is their little brother. He means so much to all of them and all the nieces and nephews. And I 99% think it's going to be Zeke, but I think I'm keeping the curveball aspect in there as well.
Okay, if Crosby died, what do you think it would be?
I think there would be a residual thing from his
internal
accident.
Bleeding,
or he could get into another accident. He didn't, you know, his last scene last week. He didn't.
We've already seen a car crash in this episode.
But last week we see he didn't wear his helmet either, and so he could be in a depressed state, drinking, gets into another really bad accident.
I just think that would be a terrible way for us viewers to see the end of the show. To be a curveball, like you said, a curveball. I don't think that's fair to us. We deserve better, guys.
Crosby is my heart. He's the last person who I would want to die. So I just, you know, I don't know. I don't know what I'm thinking. This show makes my mind crazy.
Zeke's going to die.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it until my prediction is true. I don't want him to die, but he's going, you guys. Yeah. The way they're building him up. He's reminiscing every single episode. He's having moments with everybody. He knows it.
Yeah. I know.
He's having his surge, and we're seeing it. And
he knows it.
We're not going to be seeing him any longer.
We know it.
All right. We have 6 weeks. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm very upset about that.
I'm going to miss y'all.
I know. But over that time, where can everyone keep talking to you about this amazing show?
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Kelly Kinez.
And y'all can find me on Twitter and Instagram at April Wissenhant.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at SerafiniTV. You can follow all of us here on social media at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at AfterBuzzTV. Definitely check out our after show and download us on iTunes. Keep rating, keep commenting, keep subscribing. Check out all of our other after shows we do here. We do tons.
Yeah.
And we will see you
in
6 weeks.
In the new year.
For our next episode.
We're like, oh, no.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.